Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Philippians 4, let's grab our Bibles out. Make sure you bring your Bibles along. Paper Bibles are good. Electronic Bibles are good. But paper Bibles you can scribble in, you can write in, you can color in. You're not tempted to go and play games, Sudoku or whatever it is. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7. It's the scripture that we have for today. Rejoice in the Lord always. Everybody say rejoice. Say to your neighbor, rejoice. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. That's a good word. Everybody needs to hear that. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace, verse 7, underline that, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, we need you. I need you. I need you to help me deliver this message. Holy Spirit, we need you to be able to receive this message. I pray right now that you'll stir our hearts, our minds, our spirits, that you'll bring about a conviction that we hear and obey what you're teaching us. In Jesus' name, amen. I feel today that we need to talk about something of utmost importance, and that is the urgency for prayer. Our last couple of weeks, we've looked at vision. We've looked at vision, which welcomes or requires transition. We've looked at vision, which needs unity. That was last week, because we are stronger together. But as we conclude this month on vision, I have titled this message, Vision Fueled with Prayer. Vision Fueled with Prayer. Praying through each stage. You'll understand this a little bit later. You see, prayer is like stopping at a garage and refueling, or a full station, and refueling your car to take the next step or the next stage of your journey. When I drove down to Melbourne, I did it twice, being there, done that, not doing it again. I had to plan. I stopped at certain places and refueled, but I planned on where I was refueling. I didn't just drive. I needed to fuel up to get to the next stop. Jesus himself stopped and pulled aside. Jesus himself refueled, so to speak, with the hearing the Father's voice, getting the assurance of the Father, getting the direction of his path, even just to connect with the Father and chat with him. In our journey as believers, I strongly believe we need to stop and refuel to get us to the next destination, to get us to the next and the next and the next and the next destination, until we finally leave this world and cross over into our home forevermore, being heaven. I want to suggest today to us all that fuel that we need is prayer to get us there. We can have the most elaborate vision with all the bells and the whistles, with all the glitz and the glamour, but without praying, we stand the chance of stalling. We stand the chance of being isolated. We stand the chance of being stranded alongside the road and not reaching our destination. Prayer is needed in the beginning. Prayer is needed in the middle, through that transition, to help us get through the transition. Prayer is needed for unity, because in the unity we're stronger together and we help one another to get to the end. But prayer is also needed at the end, which is our thanksgiving, thanking God for getting us to our destination. This is prayer. Prayer is needed in all areas. Philippians 4 says, in nothing be anxious, but in everything. In other words, in every stage of life, in every stage of your vision, in every stage, in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Bottom line is, we need prayer. Sila. Let's close our Bibles. Let's go home. That's the message. You wish not. You see, I can teach for 52 weeks. That's in other words, every Sunday on prayer, and we will not even uncover the importance of prayer in so much stuff, because there's so much stuff. But what I want us today to realize and be aware of is we cannot do life as a spirit-filled believer and expect great things or great outcomes if we do not pray. We need to pray. Prayer is not merely a ritual or a religious obligation. Believers in this room, hear me today. It is not just a ritual. It is not just a religious obligation. Let me tick that box and get it over and done with. It's not that. It is the lifeline that connects us to the divine presence of our Creator. It's actually the umbilical cord of sustenance, spiritual sustenance that we need. In the hustle and the bustle, in everyday life, in our daily life, we lose the sight of the significance of prayer. Things take the place of prayer. We get caught up in our responsibilities. We get caught up in our ambitions. We're caught up in our desires. And we forget that the true source of our sustenance comes from the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who made everything that we're chasing after. We chase after the things instead of chasing after the one who created the things. Good word, JJ. Great word. It's actually during these moments of busyness and distraction that it becomes more and more apparent that we need prayer. You see, the urgency for prayer becomes prevalent. It becomes more obvious only when we recognize our own limitations, when we recognize that we can't do anything, that we need to depend on God's grace. We need to depend on His presence. We need to depend on His outcome. We need to depend on that fuel that we get through prayer. The scripture says this, and let me repeat it. It's Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, bring it to Him. Every situation. That means being reliant on Him. Two things are highlighted here, prayer and supplication. Sometimes we read that and we don't really understand. We think the one flows into the other, but it's actually two separate things. It's prayer and supplication. It's one and two. Prayer can be defined as a wider way of connecting with God. Prayer can be defined as communing. Prayer expresses reverence and gratitude of love and our thanksgiving for what He is and who He is. Prayer can be considered to be the establishment of that personal connection that we need with the divine Creator. Supplication, on the other hand, is applied to any situation in which we ask someone in power to help or someone in power to favor. It involves making passionate, specific requests during times of desire, deep needs. Supplication is a prayer where you fully transfer the burden of your soul into God's hands. That's supplication. Anybody in this place been desperate at some stage in their lives? If you haven't raised your hand, you're lying. We have all been desperate somewhere along the lines. It's in those times of desperateness that we cry out to God, God, I can't do this, help me. That's supplication. There's an urgency behind it. Philippians 4, verse 6, the scripture that we've had, encapsulates the essence of prayer. Number one, turn to God. In relationship, that's your prayer. Or bring all your worries or fears or needs. That's supplication. Trusting in His providence. That's thanksgiving. Encapsulates it all. It's not one or the other. It's all four. Got to come to Him in relationship. Then from relationship, bring the needs and the desires and the fears and the worries in supplication. And then trust Him. Start thanking Him for the outcome, for the breakthroughs. I want to hammer on the prayer side first, because I think that is really crucial, because we're all about lingering longer in His presence. We're all about making His presence our priority, which comes back to relationship. So there's a lie that we believe, The lie is prayer is only about presenting our requests and needs to God. That is what the enemy wants us to hear and to believe. But the truth is this, prayer is about communing with him. Prayer is about an intimacy and a surrender. What does communing mean? This is the definition. Communing means sharing one's intimate thoughts or feelings with God on a spiritual level. Sharing one's intimate thoughts or feelings with God on a spiritual level. Prayer is not about informing or persuading God, but about connecting with him first and foremost. It's relationship, folks. You see, God wants to talk to us more with him because he values relating to us. He values that time. You got to go look at the book of Genesis. Here's a freebie, which I didn't share in the first service, but it's just come to mind. You go look at the book of Genesis. He walked in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. Communing, relationship. He values relating to us. It's always been part of who he is, and it remains who he is. He wants to communicate. He wants to commune with us. You see, during prayer, we open up our hearts to his presence. We expose ourselves. That's what we did here today. Today, we call people forward to the altar. Twice, we opened the altars, and people came forward, and we prayed. But it's in that time of prayer that people opened their hearts. They exposed what was going in their hearts to his presence, allowing the Spirit to do what the Spirit does well. What does he do well? He encounters us where we're at. You see, Jesus himself taught us. He said this. In Matthew 6:6, he says, but when you go into your room, not if, hello, not if, it's not an if, it's not a, oh, if you just feel like it, then you do. It's when, it is like there is this requirement. When you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father in who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I want to propose today, that word, then your Father who sees, I want to suggest to you today, he doesn't reward you because you've ticked a box. It's in that time of relationship. It's in that time of communing with him. It's in that time of intimacy and coming close that he hears your supplication and it moves his heart. And through that, the breakthrough comes. It's not about seeing. Oh, there's my son. Well done. Tick the box. He's done well. He spent 2 seconds with me. Oh, there's my sister. It's not about ticking the box. It's about that relationship. It's about the relationship. You see, here's a highlight. In the natural, intimacy happens behind closed doors. Prayer, which is supernatural, God is telling us that intimacy needs to be behind closed doors because it's in intimacy that closeness happens, that understandings happen, that confidence occurs. Prayer is about being close to Abba. Closeness to Abba brings understanding of who Abba is. Understanding of who Abba is gives you the confidence in what Abba wants. What is his requirement? And confidence in what he wants increases your faith. This is important. Closeness leads to understanding. Understanding to confidence. Confidence increases your faith. What is faith? Here's your definition. Faith is the complete trust or confidence in someone or something based on spiritual conviction rather than proof. Where did it all start, folks? Bottom line, it all starts with prayer. From prayer is about closest understanding, confidence, faith, prayer. God wants us to be confident in who we are. God wants us to be confident as sons and daughters. How do we become confident? We spend time with Abba. What you behold, you become. Who you behold, you become. What you focus on grows. Is this helping somebody? A scholar wrote this. Prayer is a deep personal and transformative experience that cultivates intimacy with our Heavenly Father. How true. So this is intimacy. So it's all about communion. It's all about it's that gentle, soft, beautiful. He hears. Then I bring my supplication. It moves, and then there's the breakthrough. But here's another part of prayer that I want to highlight, because this is what we need even more out of our relationship. But we've got to be in the relationship before we can step into the second part, which is this. Prayer is a powerful weapon. Say to your neighbor, it's a powerful weapon. It's a powerful weapon against the forces of darkness and evil that seek to undermine our faith and rob us of joy. Let me explain. Our supplication, making passionate, specific requests during times of deep desire, is that weapon that God uses to bring the breakthrough. You see, the Apostle Paul says to us in Ephesians 6:12, write that one down, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Newsflash, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. To me, that sounds very spiritual. This points to the fact that we are in a spiritual battle. Now, here's another newsflash. The supernatural world is more real than the natural world. Gotta let that one in sink in. The supernatural world is more real than the natural world. How do I say that? Well, is God natural or supernatural? Supernatural. Who created the heavens and the earth? God did. So out of the supernatural, the natural was created. We've got to realize that the supernatural world is more real than the natural world. So this battle that we are facing is more spiritual than natural, thus the known terminology that we are in spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is not hyperified, it's not above us or who, it is part of who we are. Spiritual warfare, hello, cannot be fought with physical weapons. I would love to have a bazooka or a cannon. Satan is standing there, I go, and he's obliterated. I'd love that. That would be really easy. Anybody agree with me? That would be super. But it's not the case. You see, our spiritual warfare has to be fought with spiritual weapons. And one of those spiritual weapons is your prayer life. Prayer is actually our primary defense mechanism. Prayer enables us to stand firm on the promises and the truth of His Word by declaring what is in this. When we declare the Word of God, guess what? It moves heaven and earth. Our words, our prayer life. And through that, we overcome the obstacles. Through that, we have the breakthrough. Through that, we're able to stand. And through that, here's another take on that famous scripture that we know in Proverbs 18:21 that says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. This gives you a new meaning. Life is in the power of your tongue as you pray, as you declare scripture, as you pray, as you declare scripture, as you go after the sick and you declare healing after. That is part of your prayer life, and it's in your tongue. It's in your words. It's not only about gossip. The scripture, we would normally use it about people who are gossiping. Stop gossiping. Life and death lie in the power of the tongue. No. This is about declaring life. Declaring life. You see, our supplications are used as weapons to bring life to the dead and dire situations. Our supplications release the army of heaven. Who is the army of heaven? The angelic. What are you talking about, JJ? Are you getting wacko on us? No. You go and read Daniel 10. Daniel 10, you read about the good angels battling the bad angels in the spiritual realm. Why? So that they can come and help Daniel. Daniel prayed, God released, but there was this battle going on before the breakthrough came. Guess what person, we use that scripture a lot in prayer because we're saying that through while the battle's going on, you still need to be declaring and supplicating. I prayed, I'm now waiting. I'll have a latte so long while I'm waiting. No. We've got to be on our knees. We've got to be praying. We've got to be pushing in. We've got to be persevering. You see, our supplications release the power, the army of God. Derek Prince described prayer as this. He said, prayer is a guided missile that can be launched from anywhere on the face of the planet at any target, and there is no defense against it. Take that one and put that one in your hat. Prayer is as a guided missile that can be launched from anywhere. Doesn't matter where you are in the world. Doesn't matter where you are in this building. Doesn't matter where you are in Australia. You can launch your guided missile prayer, and it can be focused on any target, and there's no defense against it. Because when you pray, go and read Daniel 10. When you pray, God sends the answer. What are you talking about? I've been praying so long and I still haven't got my breakthrough. It's there. We need to just continue praying in, pushing in. I hope you see the difference. This intimacy, but this power. There's a relationship between the two. It's not the one or the other. It's the one and. You see, we need to start fulfilling our vision and our calling by using the powerful weapon of prayer to come up against the darkness, to come up against the evil one that comes to only steal, kill, and destroy. God has purposes for us. As I said in the beginning, there is an urgency for prayer in this hour. I'm not talking about right now, 22:1. I'm talking about in the hour that we are in God's hour. There is an urgency. God is calling the church, capital T, capital C, which includes Pneuma East, everybody that calls themselves believers, is calling the church to pray. So if the team can join me, that'll be fantastic. Come and help everything sound pretty and look pretty. I want to say this. If this has not stirred you, if this has not encouraged you, if this has not yet inspired you to start praying when you leave this place in the next couple of weeks, let me just present one more thing. Is that okay? We're finishing. Our prime example, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was a man of prayer. He's our example. We're becoming more and more and more Christ-like. That's what my scripture says to me. You and I are becoming more and more Christ-like. That's the goal. We become more Christ-like. But he was a man of prayer. And here it comes. He still is a man of prayer. He's still a person of prayer. Romans 8:34 says, it is the Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So while he was on the earth, he prayed. Is he still praying? He's still praying. He is a person who prays because he knows the importance of prayer. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus frequently withdrew to a solitary, went to that quiet room. It wasn't in a room where he closed the door, but it was up on a mountain where he was by himself. He withdrew to a solitary place to commune with the Father, seeking the Father's will, asking the Father direction, asking the Father even to comfort him. After he ministered long hours of preaching and healing the sick and multiplying food, he departed to a holy place to commune with the Father. During his earthly ministry, over and over and over again, you read of Jesus going to one side. Even in his darkest day, two dark days, the one day when he got news that John the Baptist was beheaded, he went and he grieved. Scripture doesn't say that, but scripture says he went aside. He went, and he fell down at Father's feet and he cried out, God, what is happening? He was fully God, but he was fully human. Something that we cannot comprehend. The second darkest day in his life, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was on his knees. He was crying out. What was he crying out for? Let this cup pass me by, but not my will, your be done. Where was he? The disciples were here. They were all snoring. Their mouths were open as the drool was drowning down. The flies were, but he was over here in the garden crying out to God. He withdrew. On the cross, he cried out, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Pray. Supplication. Father, cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Prayer is not just an activity. Prayer is not just one activity among many other good spiritual activities. Prayer is the core activity for a deep and full life that glorifies God. My friend, my brother, my sister, I need God. You need God. This school needs God. Our community needs God. This nation, the beautiful Australia needs God. Not once has there been a movement of God where revival has hit without people going before and praying. Not once. You can go and read the history of revivals. Always. We were birthed out of a prayer meeting. Acts 2, the upper room. We were birthed out of there. The church was birthed out of there. They were together in one place, in one accord, and they were crying out to him. And suddenly there was a wind. They say that sudden, that wind that came through that place was like jumbo jets, Boeing engines that roared. That was the sound that came through. And suddenly, supplication, and suddenly, here's my question. If it was so important for Jesus to step aside, why are we as the church not making that a priority? Your prayer will change your family. Your prayer will change your children. Your prayer will change the generations. I have my kids. I pray every day for my wife. I pray every day for my two boys. I pray for my daughter. I'm praying that they fulfill the plans that God has. No. I pray that God, number one, will protect them. And then that they'll walk the path. Because the world, the enemy, is the father of this world, and he wants to just steal, kill, and destroy. That's why our young people are in such dire places at this point in time. Can I have a tissue, please? If Jesus took time to pray, we need to take time to pray. So here's the homework. Thanks, Zora. Put that up here. This is your challenge. Pray. If you've never prayed in your life before, young person, look at me. If you've never prayed in your life before, pray once this week. It's a 3-week challenge. 3 weeks. If you've never prayed in your life before, pray once. This week, once next week, once the week after. If you've prayed twice or 3 times a week, pray 5 times this week. If you pray 5 times, great. Pray 7 times. If you pray 7 times, pray 14 times, morning and night. If you pray morning and night, pray 21 times, morning, afternoon, and night. The challenge is, pray. I believe in 3 weeks' time, we will see a change, not only in your family, in your marriage, in your finances. We will see a change and a shift in this house. I believe it. Praying church is a growing church.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.